Welcome to Mosaics, a podcast from the Idaho Office for Refugees. Here we get to talk to wonderful people from all over our state, many who have come from another country, and hear about their lives and their experiences. Today we're joined by Tara Rita. She is a fashion designer and a creator here in Boise. And her mom, also Veronique, is a very talented seamstress. She has Tara Fashion as her business. And her family came from the Democratic Republic of Congo and resettled in Boise in 2012 when Tara was in her early 20s. She is a wife and a mom to a very fun young little boy, Jaden, who's going to be, I think you said, 6 this summer. He's actually here in the studio with us, so that's really fun. But thank you, Tara, for being here, and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what Tara Fashion is and what you create.
So Tara Fashion is like collaboration between mom and daughter. So I learned everything from my mom back home when I was 6 years old.
So about the age Jaden is now?
Yes, exactly.
You started this so with mom?
Yeah.
Cool.
So she used to have her company. It's called Julie Mode. Mm-hmm. This is how everything starts. And when I was little, I was born living in the fashion, sewing all the day, every day, because the company was close to her house. Yeah. So
you lived and breathed all the beautiful fabrics, mom's ideas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did she ever like use you as a model to kind of try stuff on?
See, yeah, how sometimes. It yeah. When she make those little skirts. Yeah. I was her model. And one of my aunts offered me a Barbie doll mm-hmm. For my birthday. And I was using that Barbie to make her like clothes, picking all the fabric, the piece of the fabric they throw away make my Barbie clothes.
Oh, wow. So you had an interest early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I use the ribbon band mm-hmm. like to tie or to make a style, like to just put something and it look good. Mm-hmm. And so I was cool. making, and some of my friends really love it. They like it. And I start making a lot. I share with my friends, or we exchange. Like they give me candy.
Mm-hmm.
I give them what I'm making.
Oh wow, little entrepreneur!
Yes,
making your candy income. Oh, that's awesome.
So this is how I was doing with my friend, and I was doing more and more of those clothes, and I start using needle with my mom. She helped me, and we are doing together. But I was happy to do it. I love it. I love fashion.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's cool you can share that with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to picture you as a little girl. Can you kind of describe was it a big city where you were living, or was it a smaller town? Can you kind of describe what that was like?
It was not that big. It was not too big, but it was a good city. And yeah, mm-hmm. we're living a good life and normal life
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. until everything came, the violence came, the war came, and
mm-hmm.
we were forced to move to the country.
And yeah. And at that point, how old were you?
I was 8.
You were 8 years old?
8, yeah. 8.
And your mom's career, I mean, your mom, you were telling me that she had gone to Switzerland to study fashion.
Yes.
And get a degree.
Yes, she get a degree. And when she finished, she go back home. She said, okay, I will go back home and build my business and work back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was so happy and go back home, build her business, her company. She hired a lot of people who were working for her. And yeah.
Wow.
Life was good.
Yeah. And how many children did she have? Like, how many siblings do you have?
3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she's raising her family, mm-hmm. getting her career going.
Yeah, going, yeah.
And you said violence came and you had to leave.
Yeah, we have to leave. We left the country. And it was hard.
Yeah.
I can remember that day the morning, the phone was ringing all the time. You know, those old phone. Mm-hmm. It was ringing like all the time. Family were calling all the time. We have to go. We have to go. Where are we going? Like, to stay in touch, to know where those are going, where are we going? But the time was so short.
Yeah.
You have to go.
Did you know you had to go because there was like a militant faction coming into town or?
Yes, her family were like a target.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So the only decision was we go.
Just get out.
Get out. Like now. Mm-hmm. Don't lose time.
Did you have to leave all your stuff behind?
Yes.
Everything your mom was working on and.
Yes, everything.
Wow.
So we just take some few important things. I know my mom have her album when she was in Switzerland when she was a model.
Okay.
Yeah, she got her album and some of few things. It's really close to her heart.
Yeah, she said that.
And I have my Barbie.
You did, you brought your Barbie.
I still have her.
Really?
So we survive a lot.
Oh my gosh, you have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Barbie
movie? That's the
movie?
Only I was thing like, I did.
Did you watch the Barbie movie and just cry?
Oh, exactly, wow. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, it was hard, but we made it.
You made it. Where did you go first when you left?
We went to the close border. It was Central African Republic.
Okay.
It was so close to the city we are. So
yeah,
we just go and took the boat and left.
And then were you able to connect with the UN there? The United Nations to apply to be refugees? Or how did it come about that you were able to come to Idaho?
So the place we were, it was like a village. Mm-hmm. We have to move again to the big city.
Okay.
So it takes time, like three months.
Okay.
To left, like to get to the big city.
And did you feel safer at this point once you got out of the country, or did you still feel on edge?
It was so scary too.
Yeah.
So scary, and there we find the same thing.
Really.
The violence again. Going on.
Okay.
It's like sometimes we feel like we are double refugee. Mm-hmm. We're a refugee and then we need to find somewhere to go again.
Okay.
And I remember one day the violence starts and we don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. They were shooting like all over. And my mom say we need to left to find somewhere where we can go and stay for a couple of weeks before we can. Because her street was like quiet. Everybody mm-hmm. left. Mm-hmm. They go to the camping, their camp, like village, to stay there for a couple of weeks or months before they came back. Mm-hmm. But we don't have nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. We just stay, and that day my mom said we cannot just stay here.
Yeah,
we have to left and go somewhere, find the group where people are going. We can go and stay, and then we go. We went to someone's house, one lady, and she said, "No, in my house."
Oh, like a local resident?
Yes.
She's scared that if you stayed there, you might endanger her too.
Yes, she was like on her, in front of her house, mm-hmm. and some of people were coming and going inside of her house. We didn't know it's her family, and we say, okay, maybe we can go and stay there until when it get quiet. We go out and continue. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, in my house.
Mm-hmm. So you felt rejected there too.
And her neighbor, say, come in my house, come.
Oh, good.
And we're so lucky. It's like an angel.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. She said, come in my house. Go under the bed. Hide yourself in under the bed. You will find your friends. They are there. I say, okay.
Oh, man.
And we just go. And there was a lot of people in the house.
So she invited a lot of people in.
A lot of people in. Yeah. That was... It was so so emotional. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we didn't know if we can get in the house. We didn't know what could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the next hour. Yeah.
She hadn't let you come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was like her saver. Yeah, she saved her life.
Like an angel, you said?
Yes, she saved her life.
And that's probably brave, too, of her. Like, I don't know if she was probably scared, too, but like, yeah. What an amazing thing to do for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally.
Yes. And all we need is finding somewhere mm-hmm. we can be safe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And...
Wow.
And it happened. We find somewhere to stay like 2 weeks before we go back.
Did you stay with her for 2 weeks?
Yes, for 2 weeks. Okay. And when things start getting better, and we go back to our house. Because where we were, it was no refugee camp. Mm. They don't have refugee camp. So we live like all the citizens. You rent the house. So you live normal life. Yeah.
It's incorporated into the rest of... So, wow, that lady was a bright spot for you as a kid and a family and a terrifying time in your lives. And you were able to find some safety and kind of decide what to do next. Yes. And where did you, so you, this all happened when you said you were like 8 years old?
No, that one happened when I was like 13.
Okay.
13.
So there's multiple incidences of... violence that you had to hide and then you could go back to your house.
Yeah.
And it's just very tumultuous and unpredictable.
Yeah. So okay. It's like when we left Congo, we went to Central African Republic. So the same thing kept happening like all the time.
Yeah. And then finally it's like we just need to... Did you apply to be refugees or...
Yes, we applied but my mom was working on for a long time. But it took a long time.
Takes years.
Yeah. 14 years. So.
14 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did it feel like for you when you did actually like leave the continent and like go somewhere totally different? And you were in your 20s at this point. So what was that feeling like for you? Was it were you happy to be doing that or was it not something you wanted?
Yes. I was happy like to move and find somewhere I can, you know, a secure place.
Yeah.
Like somewhere I can have opportunity to live a better life. Like all we need is like security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Living her dream, freedom to go to school like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is violence and violence, you can't go to school. You can't walk. You can live your dream. So everything will shut.
Becomes all about survival at that point.
Yeah. So when we get chance to come here, it was like, okay, a big door is open.
Mm.
Yeah. We're going to have opportunity to live a good life.
Yeah.
Like everybody, to work.
Yeah.
To have like a second chance.
Yeah.
Of living and build her dream.
And your mom didn't leave her dream behind. I know well. She kept going. And you probably joined with her too.
Yes. When we came and say, okay, I know the language was like the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big challenge, the language.
Yeah.
And we get it. It was not easy. It was not easy. We say, okay, we can start again. Let's do again what we left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks God we're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We can do again. We can do more. Yeah. So we say, okay, let's do it. Let's open the store. It's another opportunity to go. Let's go.
Yeah.
And we opened the store. We were so happy for the beginning. And I didn't know much English that time too.
Was it French that your family French. Predominantly speaks as French?
Yes, French.
Okay.
French and Lingala.
Lingala, okay.
Yes. But I was happy about the start to learn English too, because I was going to see a lot of clients, a lot of customers. Mm-hmm. So it's a good place for me to practice my English.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Thrown right in.
Talking.
Yeah. Did you go to the English Language Center?
Yes, we went.
Did your family go together?
Yes. We were going together until when I start working.
Okay.
Yeah, I stop going.
So they give you a little bit and then you have to just jump in the deep end. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What was your business at that time and what were you selling?
When we opened.
Yeah, was it mostly clothing or?
Yeah, clothes and handbags.
Okay.
Yeah, handbags. Because when we came, my mom went to Artisan for Hope.
Artisans for Hope.
So she learned how to sew at Artisan for Hope. And me too, my job. I was working at Asana.
Okay.
Asana Climbing. So I learned how to make some bags there too.
At Asana Climbing?
Asana Climbing.
Did you make the chalk bags?
The chalk bag, the backpack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had that like
the
in-house.
The gym bag, yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you just got hands-on.
Yes.
Were you a climber too or more just stuck to sewing?
I tried.
Yeah?
Sometimes we climb and it's hard.
It is hard. I've tried it. It's super fun, but it's hard.
Yeah, this is how we learn how to make bag. But back home, we just make the clothes.
Okay.
And when we learn how to make those bags, say, okay, let's put all together. Mm-hmm. Because the bag, it's much easier for everybody to hold, like to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were using African fabric to make like all our clothes and bag and handbag.
Oh, cool. So the taste of home came with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it? Like a source of pride for you to be able to wear the clothing from Africa here?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because it's not easy to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can find the fabric, the good quality of the fabric, and make those clothes, it reminds you home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's so like colorful and vibrant and expressive. Like here I'm wearing gray and black today, like my go-to colors, but I really admire the patterns and the color and, and I bet that because there was already a large population of folks from Africa here in Boise when you came in 2012, so I bet that people were so excited to have an expert in making these clothes. Like, did you find that you were able to connect with a lot of people who were originally from African countries? And
yes, we get connected, like it was so fast. We have friends from Liberia. Mm-hmm. So she was doing a fashion show, like African Summer Night Ball. So she put fashion show inside too. So all the time I was going just to be a model, she called all the African girls, bring your clothes so we can do African fashion. So we were doing that and I was bringing my clothes too and everybody was loving my clothes.
Did you make them?
Yes,
yourself?
We make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
wow.
All the time when we do, they love my clothes. And after I start like making a lot of clothes for some of the girls, like providing the fashion and that's people was loving. That's how we get connected to a lot of people too. And I say, okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I got your name out. Was it part of Winnie Christensen's fashion show? Or is that different?
No,
the
different.
Urban
before
culture
her
show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before she started.
Because she was on this podcast many episodes ago, yes. But it was fun to...
Yeah, I did her fashion show.
You did
too.
That one
the
too.
First one, the very first one when she starts. Yeah,
that
was
great.
There too. Yeah.
Do you also, are you connected with the Makaidas dancers at all with their uniforms that they wear?
No,
I don't. Not those ones?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are, the dance group, that beautiful.
Oh, the Makaidas. No.
Yeah.
The Makaidas. No. I don't do the outfits. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I love that dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
one dance group from like a Liberian roots. But
Oh, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we opened the website like after the fire.
The fire. So yes. Here's you and your mom.
Yes.
You have come to Idaho, foreign country. You're getting yourselves acclimated. Mm. You start a new business at the international market. And then that market catches fire and so many people lose their businesses. Yes. After all you've gone through to rebuild, what can you tell me what it was like, kind of the moments after realizing what had happened for you and your mom?
Yeah, it was at nighttime. We all left the market. And at the morning, I just wake up and I was getting ready. Usually when I want to sleep, I turn my phone off. Mm-hmm. And that morning, I turn my phone on and I just see message start coming. Boom, boom. What happened?
Oh, no.
And when I open, it just says, sorry for your store. Sorry for the fire. Sorry for the store. Sorry for your store. What happened to my store? And I see someone sending me the picture. I say, what? What happened? I started to shake. And I don't know how I can explain to my mom. Mm. It was her. She's still on bed. Mm. And I keep it for myself for a few minutes. And I was not able to handle it. And
yeah.
I say, okay, let me go tell her. I say, okay, let me tell her. So we can share the emotion together. So mm-hmm. I tell her, I say, Mom, the market is on fire. The market just burned down. We lost everything. And she say, why again?
Mm.
Yeah, that was her answer. And it's making me feel so bad.
Yeah.
I know she lost her first one. And she got a second chance to do it again. It's gone.
Mm. And you have so much love for your mom. And you've seen her work so hard to rebuild.
Work so hard on your dream.
Yeah.
And it takes just a second to lose everything.
Right, when you think you're in the clear. I'm so sorry you both went through that.
Yeah.
That was a devastating loss.
And one of my friends just came for visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her, I say, bring me there. I want to see.
To the market?
To the market.
Yeah.
And we drive together. She helped me. We went there. And everything turned dark. All the color just gone. Everything turned dark. And I said, okay. I just started crying. And I was not able, to stand up and...
It was you and your friend together at this moment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some friends were there. They just came and hugged me.
Mm-hmm.
Crying with me. And I went inside. The only thing that I get, it was my bubble. My bubble didn't burn. And I went inside.
Oh my gosh.
I took it.
Yeah. Wow.
It was good. Just water. It was just wet. Yeah.
To that, what did that mean for you to see that?
A lot. It means a lot. I can lose everything, but I'm still alive. I still have my hand. Mm-hmm. I can do it again. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You and your mom are... together, you've rebuilt again.
We open another store again.
the Terra Fashions.
Yes.
Fashion.
Yeah, after the fire, we open another store.
You just will not be kept down.
Yeah, it was amazing how people help us. It was amazing. We got a lot of donation.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of sewing machine. Like more than 10 machine.
Really? Because you lost machines, you lost fabric.
We lost fabric.
Projects that were probably almost done. Okay, so people were coming around you.
Yeah, all the time. I was receiving call. I have seeds to give you. How can I meet you? How can I donate? How can I give you? Mm. And the community contribute a lot of money. So, like, they did a GoFundMe to help all the vendors. That was so amazing. So amazing. People you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just caring.
They just, caring.
Wow.
Yeah, caring. That's all that makes us feel like we are home. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes your creations even more like special now to think about.
Yes.
You said your son has two of your teddy bears that you made called Nunu.
Nunu.
Is that right?
He named Nunu.
Is that his name? Yeah. But to think now what you've gone through to be able to make those, for any kid that has one of those bears now has a piece of that resilience that they have with them, or the bags or the clothing. Anyone who wears the clothing proudly is carrying a piece of the pain and brokenness and the resilience that you and your mother and your family have come through to keep creating.
Yes.
It can be really just hard to imagine the desire to continue creating when your heart's broken again and again.
Yes. Yeah.
But you didn't lose touch with it somehow. I'm sure it took time.
Mm-hmm. So I can say, when you see all the support, mm-hmm. it's giving you hope to keep going again and again. Yeah.
Wow.
So the support was so hard, and that keeps us going. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Through that dark time.
Through the dark. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, I feel even more thankful and lucky that our community has you and your mom, Veronique, and your whole family. Thank you for sharing. This is a really difficult memories.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Giving us that privilege to hear what you've gone through and now to see where you and your mother have come together and continue to create really beautiful, beautiful things. So
thank you so much.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be here and share all her story, but I know it's a little bit hard.
It's good. Yeah. You know, these are heartbreaking, these are difficult things that you went through, and I like that you're not sugarcoating it. This was pain. Mm-hmm. This was painful, and to see how a community means a lot, even when someone's grieving so much, like, it does make a difference.
Yes, it makes an acute difference.
Yeah.
That's why I always say, be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind to each other. You don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah, you don't know what someone is going through.
Yeah.
Just try to be kind and don't judge the book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Read it. Yes.
Get to know it.
Yes, get to know it. And maybe you can make a difference
mm-hmm.
In someone's life. In your community, mm-hmm. in your state or your country, why not in a world?
Yeah.
You can make a big difference.
Yeah. So all we can do is start with ourselves.
Yes. We need it.
We do need it.
Yes. And all we need, all we feel you need, I can say, it's an opportunity to live a second life,
mm-hmm.
to build their dream.
Yeah.
To be loved, to be safe, to find like somewhere secure, to get chance to learn again,
mm-hmm.
to go back to school. Yeah, that's all refugee needs. So.
Yeah, the opportunity. And then look at the beautiful things that can come of it. Well, I encourage anyone that wants to see these, you know, beautiful items that you and Veronique create, I hope that you'll check out tara-fashion.com. Tara is spelled with a T-H. Check it out and support, and come out to World Refugee Day and support and celebrate the the resilience and the hope of community. That's really what it's all about. So awesome. Thank you, Arita. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's great to be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the conversation. For more information on how to be involved with refugee resettlement, please visit idahorefugees.org. Mosaics is produced by the Idaho Office for Refugees with grant support from the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust. Music by the Afrosonics. Production in partnership with SB Studios.